stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's IBM Tivoli Talk, Tivoli System Automation for ZOS conference call. Today's call will be open, and all lines will be interactive, so we do ask that you use your mute function to cut down on background noise. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Jiaoxin Schmalzried. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Mike. Now here's Jiaoxin Schmalzried. I am the technical evangelist for the Tivoli System Automation family. And today's topic is about the client presentation for system automation for ZOS. I'm glad that you take the time to join this Tivoli talk. There is also a similar presentation out on Extreme Leverage. So if you listen to that call later on, be sure to check the version on Extreme Leverage, because that's the one I'm going to keep current. And I already spotted some areas of improvement, so if I find time, I'm going to update the Extreme Leverage version. So for now, please switch into presentation mode, and let's start with the agenda. I have a quick introduction, the business issue, and then I start actually with the summary already, how NetView and system automation could help you if you had it. And then we review the system automation portfolio. There's a NetView overview chart. And this is only an overview presentation, so we are only going to cover the most important aspects of system automation, and that is certainly the three components, which are I/O operations, processor, and system operations. And I have a fair amount of detail of those. I should mention there's also a details presentation that then would go into more details about every component. And then I selected the basic principles and concepts, because system automation is a very powerful product and we have important differentiators there that can help you selling. And therefore, it's important to list them. One of which is, by the way, policy-based automation. So that's a featured agenda topic as well. The other one is disaster recovery. And the next one is performance-driven automation, especially because we are able to team up with OmegaMon XE to deliver performance-driven automation. So that's actually a major topic there. And then finally, news and directions. Now, for the news, there is a Tivoli talk that Walter Schippen did in December last year. So normally, so here I only have the summary charts included, and then, of course, the summary at the end. Moving on to the next chart, which is titled Business Issue. Now, this is geared toward end-to-end automation, as is the next chart. And a general recommendation here to you as a presenter, even from the overview charts, I would select the areas that are not so interesting for the client. Yeah. Now, I certainly would mention end-to-end automation, but it depends on how much time you have, so you might even consider to cut down a little bit on the end-to-end components or the end-to-end automation functions if you're only pitching ZOS automation. Okay, but certainly system automation for the US is providing high availability, so watch out for client pains like unaffordable downtime, complexity certainly, especially managing a parallel sysplex cluster is an issue. And then we come to one of our differentiators, which is policy-based automation. And the competition, they have to use script-based automation, so they require a lot of programming skills. In other words, if they use system automation, the education requirements would be lower, and we are cutting down on automation implementation and maintenance costs. That's a client pressure that we are going to address, and we are also able to roll out automation solutions fairly quickly, yeah, much better than the competition, because it's policy-based, as you will see. Moving on to the next chart titled IBM Automation History. Now, on Extreme Leverage, there's the very same chart, and also all the announcements behind it. Yeah? So it doesn't work here in this version, but if you download the Excel version, then you could click on every of those releases and you would see the announcement text. Now, system automation, of course, is at the center of the IBM automation history. First of all, because it consolidated back in the mid or early 90s some separate automation products. And by the way, those separate automation products are still visible as system automation components. Yeah, the SCON Manager product is now IO Operations, and TSCF is Process Operations. And AOCMBS, the follow-on internal name, is System Operations. And on the other side, system automation for ZOS created joint deliverables with NetView, for instance, and the most important one is the System Automation GDPS Hyperswap Manager. That is giving at a very good or at a fraction of the normal GDPS price the customer the Hyperswap capability so that you can swap primary and secondary sites of your disk replica. And at the bottom, of course, you see that beginning with System Automation 2.2, we ported it to System Automation to Linux, which is now System Automation for Multi-Platforms. So we can really say that System Automation was at the beginning of our IBM automation history, and there's a lot of offsprings and a lot of joint offerings. And in the bottom, you see the candle products. You have operate in AF remote, and AF remote is now SAIOM, which is also an important integration point with system automation, as we will see later. Of course, you could spend a lot of time on that chart, but for now, let's move on. We only have 60 minutes. The next one, which is kind of system automation family overview, but geared towards end-to-end automation. That could be a candidate if you don't want to emphasize end-to-end automation too much to remove it and maybe use another family overview chart that I have used recently. But this one is recommended if end-to-end automation is something that your customer would like to hear about as well. So as you know, the main goal with end-to-end automation is to be able to automate and operate composite cross-cluster, cross-platform applications with just one automation and operations team, taking care of a lot of ping-pong problems. So we really accelerate problem determination and operations. And there's, by the way, a value tool out there that can prove that, how much the customer can gain by using end-to-end automation. Now, in order to achieve that, we have introduced two levels of automation. The first level automation, and this is where SA0S, but also SA Multiplatform belongs. And both of them are automated operation and high availability products. And they are also a disaster recovery platform. SA0S is, of course, the platform for GDPS, so it's compared to SA Multiplatforms, it has it's even more important because it's the platform. But also SA Multiplatforms has some interesting disaster recovery capabilities. And above the first level automation, we have the end-to-end automation layer, and in June, we unbundled the formerly end-to-end priced feature of SA Multiplatforms into a separate product called SA Application Manager. And that, by the way, has system automation for ZOS technology in it. Yeah, it's the same automation manager. And with that promotion now to an end-to-end level, we are able to deliver composite application operations and automation. And we're even improving disaster recovery capabilities by being able to discover disasters earlier and also by being able to move distributed workload. And finally, I took the top, we have the business continuity process manager, also a very new product, Maximo-based, and actually it helps you sleeping better or helping your clients to sleep better because it is able to test and manage disasters, and it has direct interfaces into system automation for ZOS and into GDPS. So therefore, I think it's a valid piece of an overview chart. Moving over to the next one, which is titled NetView and System Automation could help you buy, and then we have a list of value statements, actually a summary. So the main value is that NetView and SA provide is increasing availability. Disaster recovery is a killer function. Both are the base for disaster recovery. Easy operations is the next one. We have very good operator interfaces. We reduce complexity. We allow management at the application level. And with the end-to-end automation, you can even take that across multiple parallel systems or enterprise-wide. Then fast and easy implementation. This is our key differentiator because we are policy-based, and even better, we ship plug-and-play automation modules. So clients are not required for the applications we ship sample policy for. They are not required to develop their own policy. So this is a big time saver, and there's only minimal customization required in order to use that. Then we have, I almost had said unique function, which is iOperations, but in the meantime, CA has stepped up and they have a Me Too product, which is called CA Ops, which operation facility. We don't know yet how good it is, but certainly it is competition, so we can no longer say it's a unique function. Process operations, this is external automation based on NetView, and so it can provide a backup for maybe another outboard automation that you already have, PC-based, but that's probably not the killer function. The killer function can be that it now allows helper control, so you could change the helper sizes on the fly. And finally, of course, SA is a NetView application. It does require NetView, and there's a lot of value that you get out of the integration in terms of automation. NetView is a very powerful automation platform. SNMP management, you could have combined system and network automation. Integration with CCMDB, well, that's maybe a little bit outdated because in the meantime, system automation has its own integration with the Tivoli change and configuration management database. So we can put into the CCMDB everything that we have, that we automate. The next chart, actually it doesn't have a title, but it shows you NetView and system automation. That's a NetView-centric overview chart, the only one that I have, and it can show you which are the important components of NetView, what kind of integration we have. On the left-hand side, you have system automation as a NetView application. And the problem could be when you go out and sell system automation that your client might not have NetView. I mean, NetView has a very high market penetration, but if you hit a client that doesn't have NetView, then you have to sell NetView as well. The other option would be that you work on a special offering, a special price, so that the client would only use NetView as a base for SA. That is actually a supported sales play. But of course, it's the recommended solution is to sell NetView as well, and the value that you get from NetView. Yeah. And that would be mainly network management. And with network management, I mean TCP/IP Management, host-centric TCP/IP Management. At the very top, you have OmegaMon for mainframe networks that would cover the performance aspects of TCP/IP based networks. And then there's other integration that NetView has with the tech, with Tivoli Decision Support, Peregrine Service Center, Info Management, Tivoli Business Service Manager. And if Linux is important, NetView also leverages a lot of Linux capabilities. There is components of NetView that run on Linux, and it also has a web interface. Now, moving on to automation evolution, this shows you or tries to explain you the evolution that system automation had over the years, maybe going back to that history chart. It all started with message filtering and automation about 20 years ago, and this is still important but no longer a problem. And then we moved on to error detection resource management. AOCM, as if you remember the name, a predecessor of system automation, that was the first product, I think, in the marketplace who was able to do the resource management. Yeah, so you had a display showing you the applications, and you were able to start and stop them. And also you had some basic dependencies like a parent-child. But then the product had a improvement in that area, so we now have a much better understanding of the dependencies between resources, for not only for starting, also for shutdown and recovery. Yeah, so we now can say, okay, we do high availability for business processes or applications. And finally, the last step is proactive automation, understanding the health of your systems and applications. One step is missing, and that is, of course, end-to-end automation. Now let's move over to an overview chart titled What Can You Automate with SAZOS? And that is highly animated, and it shows you all three components. By the way, I should mention there is also a Camtasia-based video out there, client-ready and also available for clients, but it actually vanished from the Tivoli demo portal, but I'm trying to get it back online, and if you're interested in that, either send me a note so that you can tell your customer about that Camtasia video. So some of those charts, especially the speaker text, is still based on that Camtasia video that I did, I think, more than a year ago. So what can you automate with SAZOS? You see the three components. Now it's animated, so press page down. We explain the I operations component first. Main value is you can change your configuration on the fly safely. You can manage directors, and if you click again, you see a critical a screenshot of the critical use interface, which is based on hardware configuration manager, and we are adding the operational state to that, and also the director management. Clicking again and again, and then you see process operations, which is our hardware interface. Yeah, so you can start, stop boxes, LPaaS, and so on. We call it external or outboard automation, single point of control, of course. Okay, some screenshot if you click again, and click again twice, I think. Then you see what system operations does, and this is specializing in automating applications in order to make them highly available, to make it easier for the operator to manage applications in a cluster. We are also offloading some basic and also more complex tasks, like an automated startup and shutdown of a system, which is quite a lot, because typical customers have thousands of resources, and there's a lot of dependencies between those resources. So being able to start a system automatically is a very valuable function, especially if you are under time pressure, if you have to make sure that you do not exceed your time window that you have maybe every Saturday for changing the configuration. Okay, if you click again, you see an overview, and now let's move over to system automation components. The first component that we're going to talk about is on the chart titled SAZOS Component Process Operations. And this component, as you can see in the title, complements consoles and also provides automation, external automation. There's some animation here. You can see that process operations is a focal point function. And if you click again, you see that there are other options available. The ZOS itself has network attached consoles. The 2074 offers a telnet-based interface to operating system consoles, not to system consoles, not to the hardware console, but at least to the operating system consoles. Then there's HMC, which has a small overlap, certainly, with processor operations. It's a GUI to do or to control your LPaaS and your CPCs, but it cannot do any automation. Yeah? So if you want to automate IML, IPL, if you want to respond to hardware messages, set time of day clocks, even do wait state and standalone dumps and so on, yeah, wait state automation, then you need external automation. And the nice thing about process operations is it's not PC-based, so it's based off of NetQ. So it can be integrated with internal automation, which gives it certainly an edge above PC-based solutions. It's also, one common command set across platforms. So you can start a ZVM operating system with the same command as, for instance, a VSE. And by the way, it also has special support for Linux and ZVM. Yeah? So it can also start and stop a Linux client running under ZVM. Okay, some animation that we can skip. Moving to the chart titled PROGOPS On-Demand CPC and Alpha Automation. That's a mentioned killer function for some clients. About 3 years back, we shipped an APA, you can see it at the bottom, that implemented a new PROGOPS management API to allow you to query CPC configuration details and also the same for ELPA, for logical partitions. And the interesting function is here that you can change ELPA definitions, like the ELPA size, the ELPA weight, on the fly. Yeah. And now we have to understand that clients, in many cases, pay their ISV software, sometimes also IBM software, according the capacity they have licensed. But sometimes there's the need to have more capacity for performance reasons or because there's more workload. And using process operations, they are able to even change the ELPA capacity on the fly to make it bigger on the fly and then to shrink it later on in order to meet the average license capacity that they have acquired. So that is certainly a very cool function. The problem certainly is the knowledge. Do the customers know about that function? Do you know about that potential killer function? So that's the reason why I included it here. Next chart is about iOperations. used to be a differentiator, I mentioned that, but now CAOps is stepping up. We still believe we have the better function. We are interested in hearing any feedback from the field, how CA is selling their solution, and whether they run into problems or whether they claim they are better. Yeah. Okay, now let's talk about what we have. On the right-hand side, you see a screenshot of Hardware Configuration Manager, which is an optional priced feature of ZOS. Has some market penetration, yeah, so there's enough HCM customers out there, works together with HCD, has a configuration definition, which is a part of the US, and it has been extended, I think, probably back in 2000 or something like that, so that it shows you the operational status of the resources, like controllers, like device numbers, like channel passes, and so on. Yeah, so it has a four-layer GUI. It's a really nice tool, and you know, adding the operational information to it, I think, makes it very attractive. One problem is when you talk to a client, normally the people using HCD, HCM, and potentially iOperations are not in your audience, or probably not in the audience. Yeah? So you specifically need to tell your client, hey, this tool does more than automation for free. You get iOperations included as well, so that they also invite the you know, their IO system programmers, their configuration guys. So what it is, it's a single point of control, of course, even across parallel sysplexes. So from one point of view, you can change your configuration. It's very powerful. With one command, you can change the configuration on multiple systems with just one command. It is the key value is it's safe switching. So before we really do the switch, we ask every system, are you okay with that? Because there's a certain risk if you didn't do that, and a system had still an open I/O against it, then that system could actually be corrupted and would require an IPL, or could even shut down your entire parallel sysplex. And we had customers who have outages, who had outages because of that. So it's a good idea to listen to your clients whether they are experiencing problems like that. Okay, at the bottom you see the available integration. So it's not only on the GUI, it's also about the directory management, which is also on the GUI, I have to admit. Yeah, so it shows you the metrics, which port is connected to what port, or which is not connected or not allowed to have a connection. And in addition, if you just have HCD, HCD has functions like a path validation report and priming. So if SA is present, then you can sense the IO devices on a channel path, and you can prime your configuration, which is in the IODF data set, with the sense data. So you can be sure you have the current IO configuration loaded. Yeah. Also, when IO operations is being started, it's a separate address space, does not require NetView, by the way. So you could install just this component. And in the beginning, we used to have clients who had system automation just because of that, and probably we still have. So when IO operations is started, it also analyzes your configuration for any kind of error. So it's a good idea to look at the log, find out about any not so good definitions you have done. The next chart talks a little bit more about details, so that might be a candidate if you are if your client is not so much interested in that. Again, it expands on the safe and reliable IO configuration change, how we do that. Yeah, it's a two-phase commit, basically, and the value that you get, no system outage. Yeah. Because of that. And then higher productivity, multi-channel path changes across multiple directors and so on. Also, you get up-to-date information on the real configuration, what's really out there, including serial number and other configuration information. So I think it's a cool function. Next chart titled as a ZOS component system operations. That's certainly the most important component of our product. It receives the major bulk of the investment. And in the visual, you see the resources at the bottom. You have an automation engine, which is identical on every system. It executes the policy that is being defined by ISPF-based customization dialogues. And the operator, which is above the automation engine, is being informed about status changes. So we have a very good operational user interface. And part of that, by the way, is a function that we call goal-driven automation. So operators can override the existing goals, the goals that have been defined in the initial configuration, or they can also inject new goals into the system. On the right-hand side, you see what we do. Our major strength is automating applications. We have an extra data model for that. Very comprehensive. There's almost no code required. Yeah, we cover almost everything in policy, if not open a requirement. Then we can also do simpler stuff, operator task automation, like timers, of course, but it could be the entire start or stop of the system. Messages, certainly. Then there's some special automation for critical resources. WTO buffers is still a problem. Chess, spool, sysflex resources is something that we monitor. And again, it's policy driven, so you can define what commands should be executed when certain conditions show up. And then it's not only about managing applications, we also manage the CoS applications. So there's special support for Kix, IMS DB2, Tivoli Workload Scheduler, SAP, MapSphere, OmegaMon, and a lot more. Easy operations, certainly, single point of control, goal-driven operations at the application level. So again, all those are differentiators. The next chart, titled Summary of Key Tivoli System Automation Technologies, I think that's an interesting collection of our key technologies that we use, and again, the competition is nowhere close. Yeah. So we have a manager agent design. The decision-making components are in the manager, the SysplexY decision-making engine. And I'm going to take you through the animation real quick. It has goal-driven automation. So in the policy, you define the goals. Should an application be started and or stopped? You can define even service periods, like what time should it be started, what system it should run on, and of course the relationships. And then the automation manager tries to keep the system in line with the specified goals. And that also includes the relationships. That's not just about achieving goals. Sometimes it's really hard to achieve the goals because there's all kinds of relationships you have to take care of. And our product certainly does that. And the net result is to come to an accelerated startup, actually as fast as possible. And sometimes there are customers out there who say, hey, I have written half a dozen scripts or maybe 20 scripts, and I can start up my system much faster than you. Yeah? I don't believe it, and you shouldn't do the same because our dependencies can exactly model the configuration that a customer has. Yeah, and therefore, we can start it up very fast, and also afterwards, it will work. Yeah, there's no quick and dirty shortcut, which sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. So it's all policy-based, no scripts, and even better, there's plug-and-play automation modules. And you see at the bottom, we have opened the drawer and pulled out a plug-and-play automation module. We put it in the policy, do some customization, like changing the top name, putting it on the system where it should run. On the right-hand side, you see that the policy is being loaded into the automation agent, which is NetView-based, and in that SysplexWide automation manager, which will keep your SysplexWide in line with goals. And now you can start the animation, click down, you see that the resource has a problem. We detect that through monitor, we update the agent status, we propagate it to the animation manager, and that checks the dependencies and finds out what needs to be done, comes to a decision, and then propagates the decision to the automation agents, could be multiple agents, could be a SysPexWide coordinated action. And the automation agent has all the know-how and will execute the orders. There's some stuff that it has to do, like checking thresholds, and it will issue the commands. And as a result of that, we come to a coordinated restart and recovery of your application. Now, that's automation. If you click again, you see that the operator can override existing goals. System preferences is another goal, or he or she can inject new goals. Click again, and then you see the end-to-end automation manager, which actually can do the same. Yeah. So the end-to-end automation manager talks directly to the automation manager of SA0S and can also start entire business applications. And of course, the operator could also use the end-to-end automation manager web-based user interface to do operations of SA0S. That is, of course, something that is highly recommended because it's platform independent. You would see Linux, AIX, even Solaris resources on that browser-based GUI as well. Now let's move to the next chart, and actually I think we can skip it because if you watch closely, it's the same stuff again. Can't understand why I didn't delete it. There's one new component if you're at the end of the animation, which is the Tivoli workload scheduler. Just as an SPE on 3.1, small product enhancement, we shipped, or we totally reworked the TWS integration with SA. So now TWS can define an automation workstation and can also enter a request to shut down, if you wish, a whole system, but normally would shut down only one important business application. And then, of course, you can start it again after you have maybe archived the database. Let's move on to the chart title, Goal-Driven Automation. I think I covered most of that, so you can see what types of goals can be defined. It's about the desired state, which, by the way, that has been improved in 3.2, so now you can define a default desired status, whether an application should be started initially, yes or no. But you could also use those SVP, those service periods. That is something that is simpler for you. So that's another goal. Relationships are being counted into goals because they have to be fulfilled. Otherwise, in order to achieve a goal, they are being evaluated. And also preferred system would be another one. So the manager tries to keep the system in line with goals. Now, why is that good? First of all, the operator cannot do an exception-oriented operation. They just would change a goal, like start my important business application, and SA would figure out all components that need to be started or stopped, and what the dependencies are, so it would be done in the right order. And also, those dependencies, they can be rather complex and hard to overlook, especially in stress situations. So we are also helping the operator to avoid errors with this goal-driven automation because we take into account those relationships, and that can lead to, by the way, situations where even if an operator says goal is now make unavailable, we don't shut it down because there's dependencies that cannot be fulfilled right now. So we have to wait until a resource we are dependent on is in the required status. So sometimes it doesn't do what the operator wants, but only for safety. Now, what's the power of an automation policy? Next chart. Once again, that's our key differentiator. We have those ISPF-based application customization dialogue out there. We have plug-and-play automation module, so we have faster time to value. There's very little coding required. Actually, for the normal application, start, stop, recovery, and so on, no code required. Yeah. So for that, you don't need code, so we eliminate any quality problems there. It's IBM-supported automation know-how. So if you stay current on the policy, you pick up new messages, you pick up new applications that we support on the fly. So it's really a big time saver and a big quality improvement. And in turn, of course, it improves also availability and helps to more efficient use of your automation team. We have a renewed reference, which is IT Ergo in Germany, in Düsseldorf. And I'm working on a chart with them, and as soon as we are done, I will make it available to you. And over 10 years, okay, 10 years quite a time, they have achieved a 400% productivity improvement. Yeah? So with the same automation team, over 10 years, they have been able to automate four times of the resources as before. And even before, they already were a system automation user, but back then they had the pre-Sysplex release that was not able to automate Sysplex, and back then they were called Victoria Insurance. They were a leading parallel Sysplex exploiter, so they required a lot of parallel Sysplex automation. So even going from their scripts that they needed for parallel Sysplex automation to our Sysplex, policy-based Sysplex automation, that was actually one of the major contributions for them to come to a 400% productivity improvement. Okay, the next chart is plug-and-play automation modules. I already touched on that. Now, what it basically is, it's based on best practices shipped by IBM, supported by IBM. It consists of a base PDB that you can see here. That has all the major applications that every client requires. And it is also a base for the other add-on policies that have been introduced in 3.1. Yeah, so 3.1 was a big step. If you still have customers on older releases, only for that they should migrate as soon as possible, not only to system automation, but possibly throw away their own policy that they have and pick up our policy. No kidding. We have a very big customer who has reworked his entire automation and put it on our base and add-on policies. On the right, you see what add-on policies we have, and that's quite a bit, and there are more being added. Next chart is called System Automation Integration Points. I think that's a very strong picture. We are very good ZOS and Tivoli Citizen. We have integration not only with NetView. I mentioned OmegaMon. Now I have more details about OmegaMon coming up. I mentioned DWS, that automation workstation. Workload Manager is an interesting one because if we move an application, we can actually check whether the system that it is being moved on, if we need to make up our mind, if there's more than one system to pick from, we can check with Workload Manager whether this is the best system to pick an application capacity-wise or what else the recommendation is. CCMDB is grayed out here, but it's delivered. Yeah, so we can put, there's a DLA, Discovery Library Adapter, that we shipped this year, so that we can put all the resources that we automate in the configuration and management database. GDPS, we are hard prereq for it. There's a PDF exporting more functions. Then we have tag notification, interface to BS to TPSM. TPSM has shipped a new release with the old data pump, and that data pump used to have an interface to TPSA, so you now have a very good interface to load TPSM with the configuration that we are automating. And TAP, yeah, shame on me, I should have added a screenshot about the Tivoli Enterprise portal. This was added with the PDF on top of 3.1. now part of the product, and we have now workspaces on the tab. So there's a lot of cool stuff that you can do right from there. But did I forget Kickstack Systems Manager? That's a 3.2 item that I will cover later on. Moving over to shared disaster recovery tiers, there could be one possible overview chart if you want to introduce GDPS, starting from the pickup truck access method tier 1 on the far right. And all GDPS disaster recovery solutions are considered to be tier 7. There's the GDPS PBRC, which is the best one, and then there's XRC, which is asynchronous over an extended distance, but you can have some data loss. And then the entry-level offering, which is the HyperSwap Manager, and SA ZOS is required for all of them, as we will see on the next chart, titled Disaster Recovery with GDPS, which stands for Geographically Dispersed Paralysis Packs. And here you see what we do. GDPS essentially is a parallel syspec switched over two locations. It does remote data mirroring. That's the PPRC function. That's a hardware disk function. And what our product provides via the automation platform, the infrastructure for GDPS, we can move applications to site 2. Yeah, under the control of GDPS, GDPS uses the POCOP function to shut down a partition, and also we have Sysplex automation that helps, for instance, remove failed systems. Next chart is about business resiliency via SA. Here you see more or less a transition from the top, which is system automations, area, automating resources, and the more you get to the bottom, you are entering what GDPS does, and at the very bottom, you have the GDPS site takeover. And on the right-hand side, you see some, you see the unplanned actions, and in the middle are the planned actions that SA or GDPS is performing. Moving to application lifecycle without health monitoring, that's another major area. Yeah, GDPS already was a killer function, and we have invested heavily into the integration with OmegaMon XE, and here's the reason why. First of all, if you do application automation without health monitoring, you have a very limited view. You just see whether an application is up or down, so there's no in-betweens, no gradients. And that can lead to situations where you have an outage because an application is degraded and you find out about that too late. Yeah? And that, of course, can be an expensive outage. And if you move to the next chart, there you see that we now have the ability to detect degraded health states and that we can define possible reactions, for instance, provisioning of resources, eliminating bottlenecks, proactive move, or just prepare for a planned outage, so that we are now able to improve the availability because we can fix the problem before failure occurs. The next chart is titled What is Performance Automation? Could be a high-level introduction chart for that. We want to optimize the performance with automation. What do we do for that? We gather data from the monitors, could be active or passive. If we have the data, it's important to analyze it. We don't want an operator to do that manually, so it's an automation decision. What a good monitor result is and what's a bad one. And then dependent on that analysis, we want to take action, and there certainly the problem is what is appropriate. The chart titled Health Monitoring, the Base of Performance and Automation, shows what we have done. We have introduced a health status, and here you see the different health states, by the way, animated if you click. And this allows us to detect degraded health states. So the operator would just watch either this health state or a so-called compound status, where our health status is being aggregated into, so that they are not required to look at thousands of messages or entering monitoring commands and so on. Yeah. So in other words, they would get alerted about performance, health problems, automatically by just using the product, by just using our status console. Okay, and then of course we can also define the policy based on that health state. So we can, I mean, if it's warning, we maybe only would do a notification or try some basic recovery actions. But if it's fatal, then we can of course in the policy define the appropriate actions. Chart titled Performance Driven Automation shows you more aspects about it. Also, it shows you the involved products. At the bottom, we have the OmegaMon family, and then the green layer is automation, and then finally TBSM. On the right-hand side, you see the different options. Active-passive is something that needs to be considered. Active is a lot more. Active monitoring is a lot more expensive because it requires polling. Then we determine that health state, and then we decide whether we have exceeded thresholds, and dependent on that, we set the health status and we execute the actions. One possible action could be, hey, we need more information from another monitor, and that can now easily be done. We can send notifications. Now we have, by the way, that new integration with SA for Integrated Operations Management. So we could send out an alert and escalate a product owner, for instance. We can do workarounds, start, stop, move. And then there's expert level, like curing a performance problem, which can be hard. So there's no general policy available for that. And at the top of the line would be, if it's a resource-related problem, hey, if you're running out of CPU or memory, why not changing the WLM policy or ELPA way? Can be, of course, a little touchy. One scenario I have for you, if you proceed to the next one, is called Sample Scenario Application Provisioning. And this is something that we have done in our worldwide workshops this year. We had a combined scenario between OmegaMon, TBSM, and system automation called the SOAP Opera, because it was using the SOAP protocol, and it was based on an IMS scenario where we defined a so-called server group, where you can define how many members of the server group should be active. Normally, only one member is enough, so that is the starting condition, and at the bottom you see a monitor resource that periodically monitors the throughput. And the intention is then, if you run into throughput problems, that we detect that with a monitor, we update the health status, and then we would start another server. Yeah, so let's move on with the animation, press down, and you get to the next chart about that scenario. You see that the monitor has detected a problem. It is updating the health status into critical. Press down again, automation as a health status change action. We change the availability target to 2 and click down again. And as a result of that server group availability target change, now a second IMS server, IMS2, has been started. And we actually solve the throughput problem. Yeah, of course, there could be a third one. If there still was a problem, we could define another action for health status fatal. Yeah, if the throughput is really below a certain threshold, then there could be some action for fatal, and the action could be starting the third server. Now, I'm almost done with the overview. Moving to the new release, 3.2. So 10 reasons for SA's US version 3.2 is the next chart. And it has some slightly higher prerequisite SoCs, US 1.7, NetRu 5.1, and it GA December last year. And moving over to the next one, which is also animated, YSA version 3.2. And first off, you see that integration with monitoring products, OmegaMon I mentioned, based on the SOAP protocol. And we also have integration with KixFlex Systems Manager. So we can we have a two-way interface, commands, events can be picked up. Then I mentioned that already, number two, alert subject matter expert. That's the integration with system automation for integrated operations management, the former EF Remote product. Very nice integration. Again, this year I had this function in our worldwide enablement workshops, and certainly you can give the handout to your client if that helps selling, or if they already have it, if that helps implementing the solution. And if you have more questions, of course I can help. The interesting function about that is also that it has a web-based user interface where the persons that participate in that alerting and escalation can define their alerting preferences, their vacation time, and you can define the certain levels of escalations and the time in between. It's overcoming communication problems because a confirmation, an acknowledgement is required. So it's actually a recommended solution. Number three is making policy definitions easier. Now that's actually a bundle of improvements that we have in the customization dialogues. Most notably is probably the nested class support. So now you can define a hierarchy of application classes where the instances, which are applications at the bottom of the tree, can inherit policy from. And you also see, if you look at those instances, where the policy has been inherited, and you can easily jump to the class where it has been defined. The value is, of course, that you save a lot of definition work. Yeah, if you need to change something, you change it just once at the class level, and it's being picked up all over the place. More sample policies, I mentioned that, more add-on policies, some importing improvement, file update. So it's really, really good functions being delivered in 3.2. Now, number four, makes administrators' life easier. I think the very interesting function here is reporting, availability reporting, based on SMF. So we are writing SMF records, system measurement facility, for important changes in an application's life, yeah, like getting engaged, getting married, and so on, children. Yeah, I'm kidding. But another point I would like to make is exactly that data is also available in System Automation Application Manager, in our end-to-end automation. Now we can include this availability and start-stop and recovery time reporting in your end-to-end composite application through SAAM, you know, System Automation Application Manager. Very interesting function. Moving over to the next slide, more reasons. Number five is making automation easier. We've got a smart move. We can actually prepare for an application move by starting some required resources. Resources are dependent on the target, on the new system. So we can reduce the outage. Extended status commands, kind of interesting too. It's implementing a subscriber, consumer, or what was the model again, kind of dependency. So an example would be if TCP/IP is becoming available, then you can notify the resources that have TCP/IP dependencies, and they would execute certain commands and that, of course, again solves through writing some scripts. I mentioned the on-demand default desired status, yes, the new initial goal of an application, and also you can define minor resource thresholds. What are minor resources? Could be a message, a transaction. So now you can define thresholds, how often you are willing maybe to recycle a transaction or to listen to a message. Number six, making operators' life easier. The IMS automation used to be a separate feature, and now it is just part of the base user interface. So use the very same operator dialogues to manage IMS, which of course makes life easier. So Spend Resume Automation Manager can be important if you want to change the device for your so-called takeover file, yeah, in order to respond to an I/O problem that you might have. Yeah, so we are also improving the availability of our own automation infrastructure. Number seven, TCP/IP support in I/O operations. Number eight, we shipped a lot of solutions to requirements. We are listening very closely. Actually, this week in Germany, we have the automation guide. And as always, we will have a very lively discussion. There's AOTC next year. There's the European version of that called EOTC, where we also have a very lively customer discussion. Finally, number nine on the next chart, in performance improvements. And number 10 is about reporting. I personally think very interesting. There's a simple report, and based on customer requirements, we improve the HTML report. Now, what are we reporting? It's the automation policy. And by the way, if you want to show or to explain a client what we are automating, using the HTML report is a good idea because it's less confusing than using the ISPF dialogues, because in ISPF you have to visit a lot of panels and most of them are empty. Now with HTML it's a lot better structured and you exactly see what has been defined. Now the improvement is you have to press page down. We now have better links between objects, like from an application to an inherited class, and from the application group to linked applications and also back to the system. So it's much easier navigation. And also using a shared hierarchical file system, Unix System Services, you can put your policy report into that file system and your users could directly access it. Okay, moving to the next chart, that's the summary chart again, this time a little bit longer. So natural and system automation can help you by increasing availability, and you can make the point not only on ZOS, but also I should add on Unix on the mainframe, and also on other platforms, ARX, Linux, Windows, and Solaris. We increase it by being able to faster start up your applications. We start it up the right way so that it works. We do recovery in place, or we can do a failover to a backup system and we can shut down the application as well. Then we are the disaster recovery platform. We have easier operations. Operators are not required to remember the components or the dependencies. So they can operate at an application level. It's goal-driven, so they make less errors, which again improves, by the way, the availability. We have single point of control interface. So from you can log on to one NetView or to one Tubular Enterprise portal, and you see the entire cluster or even more than a cluster. And the big differentiator, policy-based automation and plug-and-play automation modules, makes implementation very fast and also improves, of course, quality. and saves costs. Then on the next chart, you see iOperations. Yeah, managing your configuration, safely changing configuration, then process operations. Normally you would do like a backup for other outboard automation so that you are able to reach your system console. And then the killer function I mentioned, changing L-pass sizes. And finally, integration with NetView for some advanced NetView and system automation. Then moving on to another summary chart, yeah, so there's even another one. Again, it's about high availability, policy-based, load complexity. SA makes System Z the best platform for business applications. On-demand is gone, so I should change that. The leading examples here are our SAP and WebSphere automation. Yeah, we can automate the entire SAP application. We can eliminate a single point of failure, and we have been actually the first in the industry who helped or who automated that highly available SAP automation solution with that NQ replication server. And that has been ported then to other platforms. And there, by the way, we have system automation for multi-platforms. And again, we are the only one who can automate the entire SAP scenario with that elimination of the single point of failure. Other tools like SteelEye, if you don't believe me, there's a recent Red Book that they have put out there. They cannot automate this very critical step where they switch from the NQ server to the replication server. And that, by the way, also includes HACMP on AIX. Yeah, so SAP is something that's very strong. The problem could be price, because SA does not support the business pricing. Disaster recovery, I think that's our killer function. And our main investment right now is in further improving ease of use, SQL Enterprise Portal as an example, integration. And the most important one, performance-driven automation, to be able to address BMC clients so that they migrate to system automation. Yeah, so we would sell OmegaMon and system automation together. And finally, of course, our end-to-end automation of composite application. There we had a recent win at a big German insurance company in Munich. They had the need for multiple SysTax automation. They wanted to be able to change their configuration across multiple SysTaxes, and end-to-end automation was their solution, and it was just limited only to the mainframe platform, yeah, not even other platforms included. So don't forget about end-to-end automation if you have a big paralysis flex client. Yeah, and that's the end of the presentation, and didn't hear any questions from you, but now you have the chance to ask questions, please. Michael, maybe your mind for asking questions, please.
And the lines are open. If anyone does have a question, please just speak up.
Well, it appears you don't have questions. I'm sure there must be questions. Probably I was too overwhelming, or maybe, I don't know. I'm available on same time or via email, and I'm actually very glad to be here and to be able to help you with any kind of question that comes up, even after the call or if you listen to the recording. So with that, I give back to Michael.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference. Again, we thank you for your participation and have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Michael.